Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you here. And for those who are listening in, a very special welcome to all of you. I trust you are well and keeping safe. Special welcome to our young people. Hi, Erwin, coming on in. And a little later in the service, Erwin and others will go out to Kids Church and we'll pray for them after our greeting time together. For those who are listening in to our order of service today at the Lord's Supper, we welcome you especially if it's the first time you've tuned in to listening into the service at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are a group of local people who love Jesus, who have chosen to live life God's way according to his word and the Bible. And we welcome people to know God with us according to his word, the Bible. Involved in the service this morning is Stuart. He'll be reading the Bible to us from Acts. Young Lan will lead us in a time of prayer. And our musos are Fiona on keyboard, Rosemary on guitar, and David singing. Our mission focus for this month of August has been on the work of those who do ministry in Outback Australia, with the work of Bush Church Aid Society. And in particular, we've been thinking of the Pharisee family, and we'll pray for them during our time of prayer. We've also taken this month of August to think about the work the chaplains do in hospitals, particularly David, who came and spoke to us a couple of weeks ago, serving and caring for God's people in the life of the ministry that goes on in hospitals, the staff and patients and carers. Today is the Lord's Supper, and again, if you've not yet got yourself an individual cup and wafer, they're available at the back of the church. This is a time where we remember not only God's great love for us in Christ, but the love we ought to have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I welcome you, if you love the Lord Jesus, to come and partake of this token meal together of that remembrance. Well, our first song this morning is Come People of the Risen King. Come and worship him who delight to bring him praise.
Oh.
Please be seated. Sometimes God actually asks us to be more than a brother or a sister to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes God actually asks us to simply be a friend. And one of my favourite car movies when my children were growing up was Toy Story. Have everyone seen the story Toy Story? Yeah, Toy Story is a great story where Woody, his best friend is, who knows who his best friend is? Yeah? Who's his best friend? Buzz, that's right. Buzz is his best friend and great friend. And Buzz comes to the rescue. Today we're going to learn about that Christians need to sometimes be more than just a brother or a sister, but that involves actually being a friend to our brothers and sisters in Christ in our story from Acts today, in our kids' church and in our main adult Bible teaching time. Let me pray for the kids and the teachers. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can learn how to live life your way as your people in your family. We pray for kids' church and the children as they leave now, and for us, that we will learn from your word, learn from your spirit working in us as you did in the early church to make us more and more like Jesus individually and corporately as your people. Go with them now. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn around to the people nearby you and just say good morning. Welcome to church. Give a big wave. Wave to all those who are listening in to us today. A very special welcome again to you. If you're able to stay for morning tea after the service and continue the fellowship, please do so. Well, we gather in God's name together as his people. And God calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, everything that we read in the scriptures, hang on these two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. But we fail to honour him and respond to his love for us, recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace. Let's take this moment now as we gather together to confess our sins and say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and you forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Faithful God, as we come now to hear your holy word read, you caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn and inwardly digest them so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly onto the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Stuart's going to come and read to us, and it would be good for us to open our Bibles to Acts chapter 9, verses 23 to 31. And you can follow on the screen behind us. Thanks, Stuart.
Good morning, everyone. So as Trevor mentioned, Acts chapter 9, verses 23 to 31. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him. But Saul, learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Stuart. Well, let's stand and say with Christians down through the ages and through all over the world what they believe, what we believe of God from his word, the Bible. Together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Well, open up your Bibles if you've closed them again, or turn inside your news sheet to the Bible passage that Stuart read to us, Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through to 31. And our title for the sermon this morning, as we continue through the sermon series through Luke and Acts on being certain of the things that we have been taught, the title is, Despite Opposition, Saul is Protected, Endorsed, and His Teaching is Believed. This morning, we pick up from where we left off, actually, last week. The man Saul, a devout, educated Jew, bent on persecuting the church, has met our Lord Jesus, has met the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He had been previously persecuting the church and had license and authority to go and do so. But he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus, the one whom he is persecuting. And God has changed him from persecutor to preacher. And we asked the question last week, considering what kind of a man he was, can we actually trust the teachings of Saul? Can we be certain of the things that we have been taught by him as the Apostle Paul? His letters later in the New Testament. And we were reminded Yes, we can. Yes, we can. For this man, once Saul, now known as the Apostle Paul, God changed. God changed him, and God chose him to be his instrument to bring the good news of the gospel to all people, including ourselves, when we read the Bible. It's sometime later now, as we read there in verse 23 of Luke chapter 9. And from Saul's own account of these events in his letter to the church in Galatia, chapter 1, verses 11 to 20, it's just under three years have passed. And Saul has returned to Damascus from time in Arabia. We travel with Saul now through the remainder of this chapter in the early stages of his new life in Christ and ministry. In fact, we could continue to do so if we read all the way through the book of Acts together or continued this sermon series, despite chapters 10 and 11, which digress from Paul's ministry to focus back on Peter and John. But we would follow Saul all the way to the end, to his way to Rome, if we went through the book of Acts together. But here in these early days of Saul's new life in Christ and ministry, we discover it was not easy for Saul. It may not have been easy for you in your early days when you became a Christian. For some of us, it might be such a long time ago that it's hard to remember. For some of you, it might just be recently. And it's not been easy. And it continues to not be easy. For Saul, we discover in these early chapters that it wasn't easy for him either. Those who Saul once believed in the same things, you know, welcomed him and esteemed him, they now turn on him, the Jews, his fellow Jews, they're turning on him now. And those who Saul now actually believe with his Christian brothers and sisters and whom he seeks to try to belong to and be a part of over these 3 years, that they find it difficult to trust him and to welcome him into his new family, his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the church. It's not easy for Saul in these early days. To one group, in the flash of a light, he has gone from persecutor to preacher. To the other, from comrade to traitor. What Saul needs is a friend and an understanding, patient and welcoming church and the enabling and safety to minister, to serve Christ as God has so called him to do. Saul finds that in faithful friends of his who are Christians there. Look with me at verse 25. Who covertly rescue Saul by lowering him from the city walls in a basket when he learns of a conspiracy to kill him. Make a good movie, wouldn't it? And later again by other Christian friends in verse 30, this time in Jerusalem, when some Jews just don't like what he's teaching. When it came to the time when he visits Jerusalem and tries to join the church there, there were Christians there who were still struggling and fearful as to whether it was right to welcome someone like Saul amongst them. And Saul finds that friendship and he finds that advocacy in a Christian brother, in a Christian friend called Barnabas, who later gets called the son of encouragement. What a great name to be known as. This Barnabas vouches for Saul's conversion and he vouches for Saul's orthodoxy before the apostles there in verses 27 and 28. He is welcomed and he is allowed freely to minister, to serve in the congregation of believers, even though they still wisely have their fears and their doubts. And when it was realized that it would be safer for Saul and for the church and better for him and them and that he could serve Christ and minister in his own hometown, they think. They enable him to do so. Look there at verses 29, 30 and 31. And they freely let him go. They took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. I take it we are meant to learn something of this from the example of the early church with Saul in our own relating with new believers, or those simply who come and join us, already fellow believers. You and I, before we put our trust in Jesus to make us friends with God, before we became Christians, we were no persecutors of the church. Well, I hope not. But we most likely mingled comfortably in the world and with the world as one of the world. But now that we have become Christians, taking God seriously in our lives and choosing to live life his way, according to the Bible, we may find amongst our family, our friends, our work colleagues, a distancing, a subtle leaving out, a questioning why, a avoiding. Thankfully, none of us have the daily fear of knowing that there are people who want to take our life, like Saul. Nor have we what Christians in countries hostile to Christ's teaching experience every day. Yes, we are mocked for what we believe and the way we choose to live. For some of us, we are seen to be anti-intellectual, silly, dumb. And the so-called wise and revered of the world take aim at our church leaders, and we fear daily their sight targeting on us, and we lay low. It takes courage to speak up for the truth and to live it where it is not welcome. What those who do need is a friend, an understanding, welcoming church, or as we've seen recently, a diocese, and the enabling and safety to minister, to serve Christ as God has so called them. And we read of that as a way of example for us in the verses before us this morning. In these early days of Saul's Christian life and ministry in the church, in the way in which we relate to people who join us, to those who become Christians and seek to worship and minister with us from maybe other faiths who have become Christians, or other choices of lifestyles, or simply from other churches who have moved into the area. We are meant to learn from the example of Barnabas and the Christians in Damascus and Jerusalem that being a brother or a sister in Christ is being a friend and being an advocate and taking the courage to stand up for them. They need us to be a friend. They need us to be more than that sometimes, to welcome them as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to be an understanding, patient and welcoming church, an advocate for what they believe, and to enable them safely to minister, to serve Christ in the body of Christ amongst us freely, as God has so called them to do. And may God grant us the grace to always be a church like that. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Before we do, let's say a psalm. Stand up with me. Oh, this is great. This is a wonderful... Yeah, this is our sentence of scripture also. Let's say it together. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's way is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms us with strength and keeps our way secure. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as he was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Before we come to be led in prayer, it's good to be still, to know that the Lord is on our side, to bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Together, the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us, the family prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I'd like to invite Young Lan up now to lead us further in our time of prayer, prayers for our world, and the set prayer together. Thanks, Young Lan.
Let's pray. O merciful Father, who did not spare your only Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, thank you for your unchanging and faithful love and forgiveness towards us. You have chosen us to be your children. Help us to open our hearts to your Holy Spirit and open our ears to hear you. O Sovereign Lord, we thank you that you tirelessly work through our lives to bring forth your purpose in our lives. We humbly come to you and bring our prayers. We lift our missionaries here in Australia and overseas. Lord, you have called them to follow you for your purpose in their lives and to the lives of those who they come into contact with. We pray for your protection and blessings on their work and their families. We pray for Daniel and Becky Farisi in Kununurra, working with Bush Church Aid Society. We pray that the Pharisees will be great ambassadors for Jesus and for BCA as they come over to New South Wales this coming week to share our share about God's work in Kununurra. We also pray for the newly elected bishop that he will lead their diocese with grace and wisdom. Now we also pray for Anglican hospital chaplains. We pray for Reverend David Anthony's at Concord Hospital. Loving God, may you grant him mental and physical strength, and may he know how much his work is appreciated by those who come into contact with at Concord Hospital. We pray you will continue to protect and grant him compassion and patience. May he continue to provide comfort and hope through Jesus Christ to those who come to the hospital. Now, we also lift up Shine and Jessica in Thailand. Thank you that the boys have well settled into their school, and we pray for their exams. We also pray for Shine at a cricket tournament this weekend, that he will have opportunities to speak into men's lives. We pray for a family visiting the ministry team in Chiang Mai this month, exploring long-term possibilities. We thank you for their leadership and faithfulness to carry out their work in Thailand and nearby countries. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. We pray for the world that are divided and in conflict. Father God, we pray for peace and hope to abound. Many have been troubled by natural disasters, conflict, and the results of a global pandemic. In challenging times, help us turn to you as our source of strength and hope. Merciful Lord, we offer a prayer for your peace to be with all those who have suffered and continue to do so. We think of Ukraine, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and countries in South America. We also pray for many African countries who do not have enough food. Father God, we pray that you will meet their needs and the aid will get to those who are in need. Have mercy on them, Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Father, we pray for our country, Australia. We pray for our leaders in the federal, state, and local governments. Grant them your wisdom and justice. We also pray that they will put the interests of the people before their own. We pray that those who are in need in this country, that they will be able to find job, food, housing, and good education. Pray for believers to stand firm on the truth of the gospel. And we also pray for Jesus Christ to capture the hearts of the next generation. We thank you that you are the way, the life, and the truth. In the name of Christ, amen. Father, we pray for our local church here in Abbotsford. We thank you that we are your family and the body of Christ. We thank you that the truth of your words are taught in this church. We also thank you for the new members who added to our church family in the recent month. Please help them to grow in faith and find your purpose. Please open our hearts and minds to your words and fill us with your Holy Spirit to do your work. Now we think of those who are sick in our congregation. You might like to take a minute to pray for them quietly. Father, we pray that you may bring healing and comfort to those who are sick. Heavenly Father, you desire peace and unity and encouragement for our body of believers. Help us, Lord, to pursue what pleases you. Give us discerning hearts to know your will, and give us the courage to be obedient. Lord, we know that without you and your Holy Spirit indwelling in each one of us, we cannot do any of these things. But with you and for your glory, grant our body peace and unity. In the name of Christ, amen. Let us pray that we may grow in the love of God. So, Almighty and ever-living God, your Spirit made us your children, confident to call you Father. Increase your Spirit within us and bring us to our promised inheritance. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, your lives and Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, young Len. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace, the enabling to show to us in Christ. As we share the bread and wine together, we are invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith. With thanksgiving, we are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way. And let us say together, we do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table, but you are the same, Lord, always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Thank you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us take and eat this bread in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Take and drink this in remembrance now that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Together, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. As you came in today, you would have received a newsletter, and inside it, I just draw your attention briefly to the information that's in there. It is wonderful that we can now actually go back into Chiswick Manor and Bayswater Gardens and be able to take a monthly church service there. Those numbers are growing in those places. I wish I could take more of you there, but still under COVID regulations, only I can go there at the moment. But be assured that we can pray and be a means of reaching into those communities, that people are being encouraged and hearing the word of God, and think on us here as well as we think on them. So on this Thursday, I'm actually at Bayswater Gardens. Please, if you remember, to pray for me, or any time during this week, for that opportunity that's there. So our brothers and sisters are beyond this local congregation that we reach. We have two little congregations out there as well. Our next parish prayer meeting is not tomorrow night, but the following Monday night, the first Monday of the month. And I again invite any of those who choose to come out and meet with us in the foyer and pray for God's work here in the church, or to set aside a time on that day during work or lunch break or sometime or at home to pray for the work of God in this place. Please remember to pray for our scripture teachers and for our, particularly the children in both Fiona and my class at both Abbotsford and Russell Lee Public School, whom we have invited to the parents and children to come out here and church with us on the 11th or the 18th or both, so that we can be encouraged by seeing some of those parents and children. In fact, John, it's lovely to see John's dad and family with us today. And it is a delight to have your little boy and girl in our scripture classes, as the letter tells you. Please come again on the 11th and the 18th as well. Our August mission focus for this month has been on the Pharisee family. And at the end of the pews, if you've not taken home already, a little envelope with a prayer point for them, but also an opportunity to give towards their ministry. So you could place something in that and put that in the offertory box as you leave today or sometime when you return next week. After church today, we're grateful that Tony and Barb are welcome to want to take prayer or pray for you. If there's any particular prayer points that you might have, they're there to pray for you. Tony and Barb, thank you for doing that. And if you would like to stay, and thank you for giving towards ministry in this place. Always, every week, we thank you for that, for supporting work in this place and beyond. And after church, please stay for fellowship and continue the time of talking together. If any of you would like to know a little bit more about that passage and Paul's journeys during that time, I've written off a little fact sheet about where Paul was. It's called, not Where's Wally, but Where's Saul, right? And so that we do know that, well, where was he during those 3 years, you know, between that little passage there? Some of you, it won't be an issue for you, but for others, you might be curious. So I've just written off a little fact sheet about that to take you through the New Testament and what Paul says about his journeys for you to read if you wish to. Well, our final song will come up very shortly. But our sentence of scripture for this morning came from that psalm that we read after the sermon. And I invite you to say it with me again as we leave today as a reminder of remembrance. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. And sometimes, most of the time, God actually uses us as our brothers and sisters, friends, to be that means of refuge for them. Let's stand and sing our final song together. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Together, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. The Lord be with you.